Welcome to the Sonoplast podcast, which is a podcast from Talking Birds in Coventry, UK City of Culture. The idea of these podcasts is to have a conversation with an artistic collaborator about a project we worked on together. And today I'm joined by Julia Negus, who's the producer at Theatre Absolute and also a textile artist. Was that a good way to introduce you?
Yeah, that was perfect. Yes. So I've been producing for about 28, 29 years now for Theatre Absolute. But alongside that, I have my textile practice. So, and sometimes, because I'm interested in narrative, they kind of all merge together.
And what we talk about today will encompass both, I think. So we're in the Shopfront Theatre, which is in Coventry City Centre, sandwiched between Argos and the former IKEA. So Theatre Absolute has been inhabiting this space since
2009, so we're coming up to, I think, 13, 14 years. So it was an empty shop, a disused fish and chip shop known as Fishy Moore's. After they'd been at the coach station, they moved up here for a while, and then in 2008-09 we took it over and created a kind of lo-fi theatre space, seats up to about 50, lots of windows, people can see people, you know, creating work, theatre, all those kind of things here, because we've got the lovely window space. And yeah, it's been a really successful long-term project.
Yeah, and I think I'd be right to say it's become the hub for independent creatives in the city. So all sorts has been staged here, from Shoot Festival to Talking Birds has done a lot of premieres here. There's been music, and there's been a massive Shopfront Festival, which kind of grew from this space and then inhabited the whole of the city centre back in 2018.
So it was that idea about it's kind of like building on this idea of like just reusing, repurposing spaces, which isn't new, but it was that idea. So eventually we did the Shopfront Theatre Festival over 2 days and took over, I think it was something like 33 spaces around the city centre, which was incredible. And we did that with co-producer Lou Lomas and Orita Zaz, also artistic director, working with Chris O'Connell, who works with me at Theatre Absolute.
Great. So today we're going to talk about a project called Montague's Song, which was unveiled, premiered in 2016, but there's a story going back further. So I guess we want to tell that story today. And then after we've done that, you'll get the chance to hear that performance from 2016. And it's kind of a special anniversary because at 6 p.m. on the 3rd of September 2021, it will be 105 years since Montague Johnson died at the Battle of the Somme. So, there's a special moment which we're marking with this podcast. Spool back. I guess maybe I could start the story, because people who know Coventry's War Memorial Park will know that as you wander round, you'll see that each tree has a plaque and a name and a date associated with it. So it's like all these trees are very personal. And then you find out that these are people that died in conflict. There's many from the First World War. And then in the visitor centre, there are photographs of some of these individuals. One day I was in the visitor centre just hanging around as you do, and I amongst the pictures I saw one that was different from the rest. So generally these were men in uniform, in sort of First World War uniform, but there was a man on a suit holding a violin, and he stood out because I'm a violinist, so it's like, who's this guy? So Montague Johnston, I had a date, it said the 3rd of September 1916 was when he died. That was all the information we had at that point. So I'd already been speaking to Chris O'Connell about whether we could do something marking the First World War anniversaries, if you like. There was a anyway, so I said to Chris, I've seen the picture of this guy who's clearly a violinist. Should we look into it? So Chris headed over to Warwick to the archives, and I think the Fusiliers Museum, and gave me a call back and said, yeah, I found a bit about this guy. Did you know he lived two doors from you, from where you live? And it was like, okay. That was a surprise. And like, okay, suddenly it was becoming closer to home. So, yeah, that was the first sort of thing in a series of events that made us think this is a project that needs to
That's happen. Right, yeah. It was interesting, wasn't it? Because a lot of the time with our work, both Talking Birds, Theatre Absolute, we kind of plan a lot of things in advance, and there's a lot of prep, isn't there? I'm not saying there wasn't for this, but it was just the way that things kind of spontaneously kind of dropped in our laps, and it was like, oh, hang on. I mean, I feel goosebumply now thinking about it, but it was that thing about, hang on, he's a violin, you're a violinist, living down the road from you. It just started to sort of think, oh, this almost like a project is unfolding on our laps, isn't it?
Mm.
So, yeah.
I guess the next thing that happened... So Chris did some more research.
We got his we found his kind of diary almost, didn't we? About his... I'm not sure what the terminology is, but about his manoeuvres.
Mm. I think the record of the particular battle.
Yeah.
So there was notes every day.
That's right, yeah. And it kind of just like, almost with the times as well, that's why we knew about it being 6 o'clock in 1916, that they kind of went over, didn't they?
Mm.
So that was very moving. Suddenly somebody that was very anonymous and actually just a drawing in the War Memorial Park Visitor Centre started to kind of feel real, didn't it?
Yeah. So the next thing that happened was a parish magazine from St John's Church came through my letterbox, and I picked it up, and on the front was a line drawing of a stained glass window, and on that was the name M. Johnson. And so there was a lot of names, and there he was. So went to St John's to look at this window, and these were all people who'd fallen in the First World War, who'd been from the parish.
Mm.
So his name's there on the window of St John's. So we had a place, we had a name, we had dates and details. So I think that's what sparked us into some research and development in 2015.
Yeah.
And
we just thought that we would just see from the research material if there was anything kind of there that we could, you know, it was very light touch in terms of like planning. Let's just get in the room together and talk about Montague, and obviously you play as well, and just like looking at his image, looking at the kind of, you know, the notes and times and things like that. And that was it, really, wasn't it? It was very kind of like we were just doing it for ourselves in one sense.
Yeah, and I think that thing of concentrating on one individual, because how can you make a piece of work about the First World War? It's impossibly large. So actually to find an individual was the key in, if you like, especially someone who, you know, was one of our neighbours in a previous sort of generation. So we worked here at the Shopfront Theatre, and during the course of that, we found a relative family member of Montague Johnson's, who I think got in touch, having seen something.
Yeah, I think I did a press release or something like that about the research that we were doing. And I this is it, I mean, obviously trying to remember, but I think they saw that in the local paper. something like that. And then they actually then got in touch because they've also been trying to sort out, you know, have a look at their family history. I think it was on everybody's minds, wasn't it, in terms of because it was a centenary. So they got in touch.
So this was Anne and Ray, and it was Ray who was related to Montague and, yeah, wanted to find out more about this connection.
Yeah, and what was great is, like, these people that we never knew, we then just said, well, why don't you come along to the sharing of the research and development kind of sessions we've been doing, where you'd compose some music and Chris had started to write just a bit of narrative. And so we met them. They came here with all their documents and all their family trees and all their research that they'd been doing and sat in this old chip shop and watched us.
Yeah, and I think that first showing of what we'd made was very intimate and very touching because we felt like if this project goes no further, this was a lovely moment that we shared with family that could have been the end of it there, but I guess
then something else happened.
I think at that point we were like, we must do this as a public performance.
Because we'd all been visiting down at St John's Church, it was just such an amazing space, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And there was also that connection there, obviously, with the window that you talked about, and it was just like, ooh, this is a nice space. Yeah. It's only down the road from us. And
it's beautifully evocative space. I mean, it's got a bit of Coventry history in the sense that the phrase "sent to Coventry" is supposed to have come about as a result of royalist prisoners being kept in the crypt at St John's Church and not being spoken to by anyone. So there are a number of different versions of that story, but I believe that is the definitive one. St John's people there were very welcoming to this idea that we should, it seemed like, well, we should do it on the 3rd of September when he died, on the anniversary, and we'd worked out, it was probably between 6 and 7 p.m.
Yeah, that's right.
So I felt like that's the moment to mark it. So we were planning towards that. And there was stuff online, and then we got an email out of the blue from a man named Michael, whose partner Kim had been looking for Montague Johnson, or family of Montague Johnson, because in her possession she had a plaque. Do you want to just...
Yeah, and I suppose we would remember, we kind of know these plaques given in the First World War for people who served and died. The kind of like, kind of slang is like dead man's penny, and it's like a plaque, and it's quite a large looking coin almost, isn't it? Like, you know, like a big penny, and it must be about, I don't know it in metric, but it's about 5 inches diameter. And on the reverse is actually every soldier's, you know, each soldier has their name on it. I think she'd found it in the shed.
Yeah.
Up in Horsley.
Yeah.
So, again, we had another place.
Yeah. And there was no family connection there. As a small girl in Horsley, she'd found this object in their garden shed and sort of taken it sort of to look after. So this was in the 60s, and she took it where she went, and they were now in a different part of the country, and it had just come into her mind that she wanted to find out if there were family that she could sort of reunite this plaque with. Anyway, she stumbled across our project and got in touch and said, we've got Montague Johnson's medal.
So I've got goosebumps again from that.
And that was like, okay, another one of these
moments.
And so then, of course, the natural thing was to, well, bring it back to the city on that day and also sort of reveal it to Ray and his family.
As they come to watch the performance or sharing up at St John's.
Yeah, so... and we decided not to tell Ray and family that we'd found this, not because we wanted to spring it on him, but we just felt like that was the moment to show to show him it, rather than sort of. And so when we came to do the performance, we should say it's the form and a narrative which Chris narrated, and then a song, which Ellie Coleman sang. I played the violin and the piano. And then, the reveal. Can you just sort of describe the reveal? So we performed the piece, and midway through the song part.
Yeah. So then with my work as a textile artist, just to say that in 2014, I was artist in residence up at the War Memorial Park. And this is a bit of a long lead-in, but I'd been capturing throughout that summer, like, all beautiful flowers and things like that, and then digitally printing them onto cloth. And then just as the summer came to the end, there was all the beautiful seed heads, poppy heads and things like that. And I just by chance managed to snap this beautiful picture of, in silhouette almost, of all these poppies and wild flowers. And it was such a lovely picture, and I just digitally printed it onto a bit of linen. And then when, of course, we had the dead man's penny, and we thought, oh no, we're gonna hand it over to Ray and family during the performance. I made this little cushion for it to sit on, because it's like you can't just walk down with a big like penny. So we had that to sort of like pop it on, didn't we? And I think I took some of the words from the song and stitched it onto the cushion, and we kind of like halfway through the song walked down very ceremoniously. It was my big acting part. And I kind of presented Ray and his family this dead man's penny while they were kind of like listening to the music and the singing and stuff. And he kind of like, I remember that they just like nodded and looked at the kind of coin, you know, as just thinking it was part of the performance. And I almost then sort of like looked at him with my eyes, sort of stared at him, like kind of sort of like, look a bit harder. And then he looked at it. And then obviously he read the words of, it was Montague Johnson written on there. And you could almost feel everybody's heart skip a beat, couldn't you? Because it was like the realisation that, wow, this is like another connection, and this was actually his penny. It was so amazing, wasn't it? And we were all in on this. So all the way through the performance, we knew this reveal was going to happen. And it was very moving, wasn't it?
It was. And so Kim and Michael had travelled over, and they brought, that was the first time we'd met them that day. They brought the penny, and after the performance, of course, met Ray and his family. And so it felt like it was like a family reunion or something.
It was,
like,
yeah.
And of course, people looked at the window, and then we came back to the shop here, and you know, chatted.
It was
great. And
that
was the moment. And so what you're going to hear shortly is a recording of that very performance, it's a live, it's a recording made live by our wonderful sound engineer Bungle, who made sure it sounded beautiful on the night, and made this recording for us. And so I suppose as a little postscript, sadly Ray's no longer with us, but perhaps tonight we could dedicate this reprise of Montague Johnson's song. We can dedicate that to Ray and his family, and we hope you enjoy.
September 3rd, 2016, 10:20 a.m. Do you hear the door open at number 10? 100 years ago, I lived at number 14. He is the violinist. September 3rd, 1916, 10:20 a.m. Do you hear the shell fizz over Casement Trench? Welcome to the Somme. I am Montague Johnson. I too am the violinist. He imagines a song. Once, twice. He's writing it even now. Oh, how I like him. Whistling the song as he crosses the street. How is the street, sir? Before I joined the pals, I once walked it too. And if the roar of these guns would allow me time, I'd join you, sir, so I too might whistle mine. For we both can share a refrain this morning. We both will write and bow and play. You will live, and in these fields I will die. Parted over these 100 years, at least by the end of the day. September 3rd, 2016, 11:40 a.m. A stroll into town. It is the violinist. September 3rd, 1916, 10:40 a.m. Message received. Battalion to be prepared to move at moment's notice. How long is a moment? The song is long to write. At least from his home to destination's end. Oh, how I like him. He hums the notes bravely, crosses the street. Beware the busy trams, sir. Do they still run along the street? And if the howl of these blasted guns would settle in silence, in my shaking hands, I might recall my fiddle's science. For we both can share a refrain this morning. We both will write and bow and play. You will live, and in these fields I will die. Parted over these bloody 100 years, at least by the end of the day. September 3rd. 2016, 1:30 p.m. Fleet Street, St. John the Baptist's. The violinist rests. September 3rd, 1916, 1:30 p.m. Battalion ordered to move to trench south of Angle Wood. Coventry's fallen, etched. Church and stained glass window. Oh, how I like him. He reads each name. My name, M. Johnson, with studied awe. How is St. John, sir? It was my parish church. If the choke of these trenches did not leave me so tired, I'd play a march to bring me home to Coventry's long-lost spires. For we both can share a refrain this afternoon. We both will write and bow and play. You will live, and in these fields I will die.
You will live and I will die.
Parted over these 100 years, at least by the end of the day. September 2016, 4 p.m. IKEA, Queen Victoria Road. The violinist walks. September 1916, 4 p.m. 2.5 hours since, battalion arrives at Angle Wood. Swelling, assaulting. The modern city shrieks its symphony. Oh, I could comfort him. His eyes are heavy with tears. Take a breath, sir. I understand how your music moves you so. How hard it has been for me to learn of the joys I must forego, to fight and die on the Somme for truths I no longer know. For we both can share a refrain this afternoon. We both will write and bow and play. You will live, and in these fields I will die.
You will live and I will die.
Parted over these 100 years, at least by the end of the day.
At least by the end of the day.
September 2016, 6:15 p.m. War Memorial Park. The violinist sits. September 1916, 6:15 p.m. Orders to attack German frontline trench at 30 minutes past 6. Beneath the beech tree, he takes his splendid violin from its case, stretching his supple fingers, scoring scales and pitch. Is there a plaque beneath the tree, sir? Montagu Johnson is my name. If I could own a minute here, in these trenches, to steal some shards of peace, we'd share a drink in Guillemont so that you and I might speak. For we both can share a refrain this evening. We both will write and bow and play. You will live, and in these fields I will die. Parted over these last 100 years, at least by the end of the day.
At least by the end of the day.
September 2016, 6:30 p.m. The Visitors' Centre, War Memorial Park. The violinist plays. September 1916, 6:30 p.m. Intense machine gun and bombardment. The rosin tracks back and forth. Those fine strings are set to sing. Beneath his long and tender tips, his anticipation of the finished song. As he stares into my eyes, my portrait upon the wall of the fallen, the song begins. He strikes. Shells attack. Notes falling, slaughtered from the sky. In a moment's silence between the guns, the song is heard.
For we both can share a refrain this morning. We both will write and bow and play. Over these bloody 100 years, at least by the end of the day. For we both can share a refrain this morning. We both will write and bow and play. We both will write and bow and play. You will die. this song the story of how he died. Sad hearts at death so many, cruel beats in time, a melody for dying. Sad hearts at death so many, soldiers laid across those fields, each remembered with a dead man's penny. Soldiers laid across those fields, each remembered with a dead man's penny.
September 2016.
1 million soldiers of the song.
Saturday.
A 100 years hence, will others gather anew? Violin, a bow.
Fallen soldier's medal is reunited with his city.
We sing a story of the soldiers of the song, of whom one from Coventry was named Montague. Story of the soldiers of the song, of whom one from Coventry was named Montague.